Hey there. Because you're listening to this podcast, we at Blue Wire want you to know this. One, we freaking love you. And two, we want to learn more about you. Help us make more content you'll love by filling out a survey you can find in the description of this podcast. You'll help us out a ton, and you'll have a chance to win a Blue Wire t-shirt, hoodie, or a pair of AirPods. We appreciate you, hope you're staying safe, and want you to enjoy this podcast.
Blue Wire.
Let's fuck this shit.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
And I don't have the metronome on, so that's going to be a huge improvement from last week already.
Even though I feel like that really set the tone for like a mixtape of some sort dropping at some point.
Yeah, it was like a very, very, very long skit.
The ideal skit length time is 5 minutes flat. You were trying to like co-opt Phoebe Bridgers dropping her new album.
You know, I just can't have like the way cooler, much more successful, and actually nothing much like me version of me getting all the spotlight. You haven't listened yet, have you?
I haven't. Probably gonna listen to it tonight. Just turn off all the lights, lie on the floor, and see what happens.
I gotta say, that sounds like something that an Ally McBeal character would do, to like have a realization. But it would be to like the song Torn. Instead, you're gonna be listening to like songs about family trauma and sexual violence. So
exactly. So just really gonna set the tone for my weekend. Welcome back to our Phoebe Bridgers recap podcast, Puck Bunnies.
Dude, I'm Christina, by the way.
I'm Audrey.
Anyway, so we would get so many more listeners if this was just us talking about Phoebe Bridgers.
Deconstructing one song a week from what's her new album called?
Punisher.
From Punisher for the next 10 weeks.
We could do it. I sometimes feel very bad for people who follow me for like any other, just any reason. Like if you follow me for any reason, you're going to be disappointed.
Right, because 95% of the other stuff is not stuff that you're going to be interested in.
And it's the same way with you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a Venn diagram of one person.
It's me.
Yeah, so like I think this week or last week, Audrey texted me, like she prefaced a text before she sent me the actual information. She was like, I need you to pretend to be excited about this. And I was like, all right, I'm primed. And she was like, Sean Hannity is dating
Ainsley Earhart from Fox and Friends.
Sean Hannity dated Amelia Earhart, and I'm immediately interested.
You, like, valiantly, though, pretended that it was a big deal, which I appreciate. And that's why, friends, they're your most important, deepest relationships in life.
That's right. I do believe that now, like, unironically. Anyway, let's get to the hockey.
Yeah. Welcome back to Puck Bunnies. Another week where none of us are supposed to be here right now, and nothing that's happening is supposed to be happening. Brought to you by Blue Wire.
Well, just another week in paradise. I feel like by the time this comes out...
How many players by the time this comes out on Monday do you think... It's what, Friday night right now?
Yeah.
We'll get this out on Sunday night or Monday morning. About 2 minutes before we sat down to record, the NHL released a statement telling us that 11 players have now tested positive for COVID-19. And that's not counting staff, that's not counting arena staff, that's not counting anybody outside of professional National Hockey League players.
Just the assets.
Yeah.
And these are just the assets that have been tested.
Right. So I think there's been around 200 players tested so far. So that's... I can't do fractions, famously, but that doesn't seem like it's a good amount.
Well,
it's 5%.
It's a lot.
5%?
I don't know. Fuck it. I didn't come here to do division. But the issue to me isn't this. It's just, so I was reading the phase 2 guidelines for like how players were supposed to handle going from self quarantine to their team city.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, you guys figure it out.
Do what feels right.
No, listen, this is ridiculous. Like they give them a $1,500 travel voucher.
That's very nice.
No, no, because there's like, but they have to get there completely hermetically sealed.
Yeah,
you know, as per their agreement. So what's gonna happen is there's gonna be like a private jet coming from Stockholm.
Yeah, they're all gonna carpool together.
With five beautiful typhoid Marys. Just crawling with coronavirus.
It's gonna be the Nylander well, not Alex. Is Alex
Elias?
Yeah, it's gonna be Elias. It's gonna be William Nylander. Gabe Landeskog.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just trying to think of like five beautiful blonde Swedes.
Elias Lindholm, both Elias.
Yes, yes.
It's just ridiculous to think about these angelic boys, these blonde, just gods of men, coming in on this...
Vikings.
Like Apollo coming in on this private jet, crawling with the plague, because Sweden has just been like, fuck it, we ball.
We'll figure it out. It's fine. So, it's Friday. Today started with TSN's Bob McKenzie revealing that he had found out that at least one NHL club had had to temporarily close its training facilities during this phase two period because multiple players and some staff had tested positive for coronavirus. Very shortly after that, we learned that it is the Tampa Bay Lightning.
The boys, they're back in town. And they're breeding.
This is not shocking, obviously. I feel like last week when we lightheartedly made the prediction the league is not going to slow down and grab the wall at any point until somebody is hospitalized or dead, I wasn't being dramatic. I really do believe that.
I really feel like that we were just sibyls in that moment. Yeah. We're like, we're just telling you the truth. Because it, I mean, just on this small scale of like just trying to make hockey come back during the end of the world, it has been like a gaslighting experiment of just unprecedented nature, because everyone is handed these plans with just, there's no guidelines for how to make any of these players do anything. Also, not a lot of considerations for the safety of the players at all. It's just not going to happen. Like, and we all saw that. We patently, like, this is not going to happen. But we all pretended like it did.
It's like a terrarium of the United States public policy response to this crisis. It's like, if you really want to get a look at how the U.S. is handling coronavirus, just study the NHL for a little bit, because what they're just doing is ignoring it.
Yeah, and like, it's weird to have this event horizon happening so cataclysmically across every aspect of our life, just because, you know, I think that these are things that you and I have come to know about the world, that it sucks and it's unfair and that capital always, you know, serves to hurt the most people possible, through a lot of like introspection and thought. I never thought I'd be in the cool zone.
Here we are.
Now it's Ovechkin is going to get hospitalized with COVID. So once it came out that the club was Tampa Bay Lightning, I think they said that three or six players. But the cherry on top of the sundae, of course, is I just get a text from Audrey, like I'm in the middle of a meeting, it just says Austin Matthews has it. I almost like had to mute my microphone just to like let out just a scream. We talked about this last week. I was like, it's going to have to be a star and they're going to have to get really sick. Mm-hmm. And oh
and
my
here
gosh.
We are, one flat week later. So yes, according to one source in Canadian media, Austin Matthews has allegedly tested positive for coronavirus.
So Austin Matthews was quarantining in Arizona with friend of the pod
Freddie Henderson,
who has tested negative for coronavirus.
Allegedly. Okay, here's the thing. I'm trying to take this story with a grain of salt, just because it does, like, obviously it's sensitive medical information and there's a lot of debate online because, you know, it's how does it affect the Leafs? Everybody's freaking out over the ethics of whether or not you can report on somebody's like medical testing records. And I believe, student of journalism here, that it does not violate HIPAA, but it still is a shitty thing to do.
As a lawyer, we're actually two very good people to be talking about this now that I'm thinking about it. As a lawyer, it depends.
You should only ask us about this.
As an attorney, it really depends on how it was found out that he was positive. Because as if it was someone who had access to his medical records and then told somebody else, that would be a HIPAA violation. Like if it was a nurse, it was like, oh my God, Austin Matthews has coronavirus. So what likely happened is that he texted it to a family and then a family person linked it.
Someone he knows. Woods leaked it, or like, you know, he told a girl. He told some girl in the Instagram DMs, and she.
Oh God.
So again, the Leafs have now released a statement saying we're not going to comment on this. So to me, that means that he has it.
Yeah. I'm like, anytime the Leafs don't say anything, Kyle is berating someone just in a closet. And okay, the reason that this worried me, like, not even like the like I want my prophecy thing to be true, is I'm concerned that if it's already out that he has it. I hope he's all right.
Yeah. And I mean, like the players testing positive that we've learned about just today.
Mm-hmm.
This is so obvious. And obviously, like, hindsight's 2020, but they should have seen this coming. If a single person working in the NHL had any sort of like public policy / knowledge of the world and current events, they would say, hey, maybe we should not open our training facilities back up in Florida and Arizona, where cases are spiking.
You know, I believe that, and I don't think that there are all, I mean, okay, like it's an organization. They can't all be stupid. So if you're looking at what the other leagues are doing, they're not the only people who are having training camps in Florida.
No, absolutely. And how's it working out for the Phillies who are having camp in Florida right now?
They're having all these camps here, and you have to ask yourself, why are they all having their camps there? And if you follow your little nose, it's because they're getting money to do it. They're getting money to use these facilities.
Right.
And what's happening is they're waiving a lot of travel requirements and like quarantine requirements for players that are coming in from Sweden and stuff like that. So if Elias Pettersson was trying to come to like New York, he would have to quarantine for 2 weeks. But now it basically bypasses that 2 week period and he can go straight to train camp.
So this leads us to how they're trying to proceed and choose the hub cities for, in our mind palaces, what we think of as the playoffs that are definitely going to happen this summer.
Yes.
So the Canadian-US border is still closed. Basically, anybody who's traveling and they're a quote-unquote essential worker or so, mm-hmm. professional athletes are included in this. Right now, Canada's policy is that if you enter Canada, you have to quarantine yourself for 14 days.
They just took care of that. They basically made an exception so they could move it to like Vancouver or Toronto. The issue that gives me pause is like looking at the rates in Vegas.
Yeah.
And thinking about how bad the NHL is at putting on any sort of event. I'm thinking about the All-Star game, for example. Mm-hmm. And how are they going to manage to corral these like wild horses into their barns if they're already getting sick at training
camp? They're going to have to clear out the entire strip. They should just get everybody, all the civilians who live in Vegas are going to have to leave.
The National Guard comes
in. For like 3 months.
Oh my God.
No, and this is what's interesting is that I think now, today, what people have started saying is like, okay, the league is now looking at just having their hub cities in Canada because mm-hmm. the U.S. can't even begin to start getting its shit together. And right. it doesn't look like that's in the near future. So maybe it'll just be Toronto and Vancouver.
It feels very weird because
we can't have anything.
Well, no, I was thinking about this today. Do you remember like the 2004 Olympics when they were like, Athens isn't going to do it? And then it's like, Sochi, they're not going to do it. And now it's us.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that you have to have a functioning society to seamlessly pull off many sports events at one time.
Right. And I think for the U.S., that is going to be pulling off the NBA playoffs in Disney World.
Would love to see it.
That is apparently what they're going to be doing. They've already released the names of the teams and where they would be probably staying. And it sounds great. Like, that plan, it's not going to work, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
I like that castle. It's constructed like that mine castle has much better foundation. You know, they really thought about the flying buttresses and stuff. The NHL's Mine Palace playoffs, just pile of shit. It's a nightmare.
It's a hut surrounded by a moat. We're all swimming in it and it sucks. This week, hero, Puck Bunny's hero, new friend of the pod, Roman Polak.
Oh my God.
Set an example that I think, I mean, I would be shocked now if more players don't follow what he did.
So I've been getting up very early in the morning, just for no reason. And I think I wrote up Audrey just saying, Roman Polak has just left America. So he literally said, fuck it, and left. And he's not coming back for the playoffs.
He was already in the Czech Republic.
Roman Polak, just for the, you know, the people who are not Stars heads, he was up for free agency this summer, but he was assumedly going to come back to play in the playoffs. But he decided no, he was not going to be coming back to America and has renounced the NHL and his contract and will remain on the continent.
If this is an unfamiliar name to you, that might be because Roman Polak is 34 years old, and he was a healthy scratch in, like, the last 8 games of the last, like, 20 that the Stars played.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a depth guy. He's a depth guy for sure.
Okay, but, like, if someone who's made it in the show, like Roman Polak, is quitting, this is, like, not super great for a lot of the other depth guys in the NHL.
Yes.
Who could go and play in weird-ass leagues in Norway or something like that. So what the NHL doesn't want to happen is they don't want, like, all these other guys who are looking at free agency in the next couple of years to be like, well, shit, my team isn't going to make the playoffs. There's no guarantee that they're going to have a season until, like, next year.
Next January, yeah.
And so, like, why don't I just go play in my normal country with, like, socialized medicine? Because people can go watch me play.
I can hear the crowds roar my name again.
Sports are slowly making their way back, and Bet Online is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Looking for something other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
So we got a text this week from a listener who just said, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say that you guys should apply to the Sabres assistant GM jobs. I agree. I feel like we would do it very cheaply, which seems to be the issue up there right now.
Well, so how much do you know about the ownership of the Buffalo Sabres?
I know that the Pegulas are married. They mm-hmm. are...
Power couple.
They are frackers. They got that fracking money.
They have that natural gas money.
Yes. Kim Leanin, feminist hero, is president of the Sabres, and I think he's president of the Bills, correct?
So, the Pegula family bought the Buffalo Sabres in 2011.
Yes.
This was at the height of, like, the fracking boom, and, like, where if you were fracking natural gas in America, it was, like, a good time to be doing that. So he was incredibly flush with cash, and he literally said in his, like, one of his first press conferences, there might be a salary cap, but there's no salary cap on talent.
Mm.
So his goal was to really, and this is ironic considering how bad they are, how bad their depth is he wanted to develop their scouting.
Yes.
And he wanted to develop their farm leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to natural gas markets. In the last, like, 10 years or so, it's not been good to be a fracker. So
not only morally, but also financially.
Financially is what we care about here. But yeah, I mean, he's already in hell, and he's going to be burned on natural gas. So he has lost a shitload of money. And what's very interesting about the time when he bought the Sabres is that's around the time when the Ricketts were trying to acquire the Cubs. And so this was a time whenever investment companies and hedge funds were pitching sports franchises to incredibly wealthy people as this basically a way to print money. And so that's why, you know, someone at Deadspin wrote a really great piece about the Ricketts scandal and, like, just how messed up all that was. But that's what oligarchs did in the late aughts is they bought sports.
Bought teams, baby.
Unfortunately, when you play in Buffalo, you got to be good or people aren't going to come.
Right.
So it became sort of a death spiral of both his own. So the other thing that he didn't do that was really interesting is Kim.
I do want to say, like, before we get into this any further, we're talking about this like the Pegulas died or something. That's not why we're talking about the Sabres. We're talking about the Sabres because this week, Jason Botterill, their GM, got fired like 3 weeks after... they released a statement saying, oh, no, Jason's going to stay on. Like, he's our GM.
He's our guy. But that like it's perfect lead into like their leadership style. So yes. Like Kim and so Mr. and Mrs. Pegula run a tight ship. She's just president of hockey operations, and then they just kind of do it together.
Yeah.
Love a mom and pop shop. They basically fired everybody. They had to rehire a couple people.
I believe they accidentally fired like an accountant or somebody.
No, their IT guy. Their special vice president in charge of IT. They were like, oh, fuck, he's got the password.
We're locked out of the CMS. We can't get back in. They fired Jason Botterill. They fired their assistant GMs. They fired the head coach of the AHL team, their assistant AHL coaches, and the director of their scouting program, and a lot of his guys.
So, like, that's sort of what I was talking about, is their investment in amateur scouting was just really weird by league standards. And so I wasn't a hockey fan in 2011, so I didn't really know, I didn't read about any of this until recently. But they basically spent a shitload of money just sending random dudes out to games. And so, mm-hmm. like, his little network of little birds, they're all dead.
We're
now.
Going to, like, watch 50 Barry Colts games in the middle of the winter. It's rough because I feel like as a fan base, it's very easy to blame GMs and coaches, and much harder to conceive of like blaming owners, because owners are oftentimes not very hands-on,
mm-hmm.
and they're so fucking rich. I do want to say that like since the Pegulas bought the team, it's been 9 years, 6 head coaches. They're on their 6th head coach,
wow.
and they're on their 4th GM. So at that point, I just have trouble believing, oh, it's a coaching problem. Oh, it's a management problem.
Well, what's so funny is that, like, it's such a starter billionaire move to mm-hmm. buy a hockey team. Because, like, hockey is one of the few sports where you honestly cannot buy your way into a championship team very quickly. So, like, if you were a real billionaire, mm-hmm. you would go and buy a team, like, on the Premier League in like, soccer. Mm-hmm. Because then, like, there's no salary cap. And that's what they did with Manchester City. And you can also do that with baseball. There's a salary cap in hockey, so you cannot do that. And so it's just such a massive failure of both vision and money mm-hmm. to have this entire network of amateur scouts trying to build up like a farm team and not having one, because that's their whole problem. They have no depth.
And it also so much this story has played in to the larger themes of the issues of staffing and hiring and mm-hmm. diversity, equity, and inclusion in the National Hockey League. Like, their replacement GM, Kevin Adams, he was working in their business administration department. They were just like, we can give him a little raise.
We have one guy left. Kevin with a Y. Let's go.
They didn't interview multiple people. They didn't look outside the organization. They probably didn't even look down the hallway.
Yeah, because the Pegulas want to be the ones who call all the shots, and they obviously cannot call them right. It's sort of the same thing that's happening in Ottawa in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. is you have these franchises who are being poisoned by the people who own them, who just do not give a fuck, and it's because the other owners do not give a fuck.
So I was like reading some stuff about this earlier this week, and my favorite thing that somebody said was Greg Wyshynski from ESPN said, there's no one in the league who I feel worse for than Jack Eichel. That hits so hard.
I love him.
I feel so bad for him.
And he has gotten caught up in all this too, just because, you know, he's sort of the de facto, okay, what do you build a team around if you have nothing? You build it around the star player.
Who's also the captain.
And so he's sort of unfairly, in my opinion, his words carry a lot of weight. And so he gets whiplashed in the media, like, do you support your coach? Do you support who would... And he's just like,
I would like to win, please.
Yeah, can you pick some good guys? Also, I feel very close to him since he's a Scorpio Gemini moon.
Jack Eichel was the 8th best forward in the league this year. On the 25th best team.
He's on X Games mode every night by himself.
He's 23 years old, and he is signed through 2026.
That's a long time.
Christina's face, just as she was trying to process the amount of time between now and 2026. You guys try and do that. I can't even think about next week.
I was going to say, I'm like, tomorrow seems like very vague.
So it's a mess up there.
What if there was a jamboree, like a bad contract jamboree, like, you know, a debt jamboree, and all the lottery teams got to like shuffle?
Yeah.
Whoa, wait, that's a good idea. So you like distribute them equally. Like you just shuffle.
So you would do this maybe in place of a draft this year. Since we don't know if this season is restarting or not, we're just going to shuffle the guys we've already got. We're going to reseed, but just the teams that didn't make the playoffs.
And just Christina's going to do it. And she's going to do it only using the VLOOKUP tool on Excel. I'm not gonna include vibes. I'm not gonna include where they wanna play. I'm just doing pure talent, baby. Yeah. And also astrological sign.
Should we take some calls?
Let's take some calls.
Hi, Buck Bunnies, drawn from St. Paul. If every time a player scored, a fan died, who would win the Rocket Richard Trophy? Weigh in. Thank you.
So I had to Google what that was. Yeah, who do you have?
I mean, it's got to be somebody who just actively, like, honestly, I was thinking Jack Eichel.
Well, I was thinking, I'm like, do I get to pick a fan base of who, like, yeah. If the guy who does it is the one, the fans who die. So, like, I'm killing a lot of people in Buffalo.
Right. I think the slow burn for me would be Mitch Marner. Who every time he scores, another Toronto hockey dad who was tweeting at him incessantly for 6 months, telling him to shut the fuck up and take a goddamn deal, would pass away.
I'm going Galaxy Brain, and I'm going to pick Logan Couture.
Okay.
When they're in the playoffs. Because think about all the billionaires in Silicon Valley he could kill.
You think that he would use his powers, like he would selectively kill people? That can't be how it works.
I get to pick.
Right.
Yeah, but like, no, we need to, like, actually, I think that, like, the real answer to this man's question is to pick the player who doesn't score ever. Mm. Because you don't want anyone to die, right?
Oh, then I would go with, like, I don't know, Chris Tanev or somebody.
It's a great question, though.
If you want to be, like, a good person or whatever.
Hi, bunnies. Lauren from Indiana here. From a pure hockey perspective, it was a blessing to have the Red Wings season end early. I personally couldn't take much more. However, with the current season being extended, teams who are eliminated from the playoffs might not play until January. In your wildest dreams, what would be the best way for eliminated teams to play or otherwise keep connected with fans until then? I would love to see some sort of team skills competition ranging from actual legit skills to, like, who can win in a hockey stick javelin throwing competition.
I have a couple of concepts here.
Okay, hit me.
My favorite one is that last week when we talked about hiring plants for the crowd at playoff games, it should be players from teams that did not make the playoffs.
That would be so good.
It's a little psychologically twisted, but, like, also could be motivational.
You know what? No. Have you seen any reality show based on, like, a skill? The final episode, they always all come back. Let's go. Let's bring all the losers in. Have you seen So You Think You Can Dance? They all stand on the stage.
Also, my logic here is that if you're going to already have, like, 500 NHL players in one hub city, you might as well have all 800 of them or whatever and just keep them there in quarantine until the season can really restart and we have a vaccine or something.
Whenever Audrey and I were, like, first becoming friends, she told me to read this book, Terranauts, which is about...
Great book.
Fantastic book about people who go and live in a dome. And wow.
In the Nevada desert. Like, how cool would that be?
Like, when I see questions like this, I'm like, January? And I struggle so much with, like, this is a podcast and it's supposed to be funny, right? But
right now we have to deal with the concept of time, which is never funny.
I don't know what they're going to do. They're probably not going to do much because nobody's going to be doing much until January. I hope to God that the Tkachuk family continues with their wonderful miniseries. It's just Brady and Taryn now. So I hope that they can have fun together. You know what I really hope they do?
What?
What I really hope they do is they force everybody to get a GED like they're in prison. Audrey just took a sip of water. She's about to...
Forced education. They all have to do distance learning.
All right, you're going to read Great Expectations and then we're going to have to read an essay about it.
Okay, so you think that eliminated teams should be forced to go back to school?
Yeah. We'll give them tax credits for retraining, Audrey.
You can get your full salary.
After 6 weeks.
Can I get a ruling on Elliot Friedman's beard?
I haven't looked at it up. I wanted to, like, give you my live reaction.
All right. Live react Christina reacting to Elliot Friedman's beard for the first time.
I don't know if you can use this, but he either looks like he's about to cut someone's head off or his head's about to get cut off.
The Zoom camera does make him look like he is in a hostage video.
Okay. Oh, like, once you get past, like...
everything happening?
Once you get past the fact that he looks like Osama bin Laden. He looks really good. He looks tan.
No!
Okay, you know what he looks like? He looks like a professor that I would... Like, a really good, eccentric professor who would... I would take, like, a great interest in, but who would be a mentor to me in a non-sexual way. Does that make sense?
What a concept.
Would be nice.
A non-threatening man in a position of authority.
Be nice to me, what?
Okay, I'm going to read you the next text. Hi, bunnies. We never heard which Avs players have COVID, although it's confirmed at least three of them did. Which of the idiot Avs got corona? How did they not all get it, since they're constantly in each other's pockets? I'm convinced one of them was JT Compher, but I'm not sure who the other two could have been. Please wildly speculate on this. Thanks, Jess. I mean, we've talked about this.
They've all had it. I think they all have it.
But also 99.999% certainty that one of the players who tested positive was Andre Burakovsky.
Again, like the beautiful lads flying over from Sweden. Like, he's got it.
He has it. He was born with it.
To, like, take a macro view of this, just watching people in my neighborhood comply or not comply with various social distancing orders. I'm in Chicago. It's, like, one of the most liberal cities in America. People are pretty good about it. We're asking men.
First of all, men.
Men who had brain injuries to be mindful of, like, them, of anything. I don't think that most Americans, like, really realize how much of an undertaking that is.
Especially when we were already asking them to do so in March, when nobody was seeing the effects of this already. And also, again, like, just speaking from a purely U.S. point of view, most of the country has not seen this affect their own communities. And they don't know anybody who's had the virus. They don't go out and see people wearing masks, because why would you wear a mask if nobody you know has it, or you don't have any cases in your county?
Right, because it's denialism is at the whole core of American capitalism.
Right, but it's also just human nature. It's such a huge thing to worry about. Like, it's so massive if you really let it settle that, like, oh, I'm in a global pandemic and 200,000 people are going to die, at least. That why would your brain not want to take you somewhere else where you're like, oh, but I don't, why would it be me? It's not going to be me. So anyway, Andre Burakovsky has coronavirus.
Okay, here's an interesting question. Do you think that any player is going to be useless to be able to take a stand on this kind of stuff?
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, which player do you think is going to have their third eye opened and they're going to, like, become woke?
So I think that the players who are already pretty progressive are on a precipice of something. I see Holtby and I'm like...
He needs a little nudge. Actually, he's probably already there, but he's such a, like... He's so not consequential. Yeah, he's...
I can see Jonathan Toews.
I wish it was going to be somebody, like, really unexpected. You know what I'm saying? Like, all this time, again, to return to the Dallas Stars, I don't think Jamie Benn ever said anything about Black Lives Matter or protests or anything. But what if it's because all this time he's, like, been in his Dallas McMansion just studying pandemics and being like, this is a bioweapon that the Chinese released on us that they've been planning for years. And now Bill Gates is going to give us, like, fake vaccines that will actually spread the disease more.
His third eye is just that awful eye on his knees, like, cracking open. But no, I'm in Break Bad in, like, a positive way. I think it could be someone like Elias Pettersson, maybe.
I know. I just wish it was somebody who was dumb.
We can all hope for, like, the smart bimbo, but they're not. They don't exist.
There's only so many smart bimbos, and you and I are already taking up two of the top slots, so...
I have two White Claws and I get concerned about time.
Well, Christina, it's been another delightful week of playing pretend. This is truly fantasy hockey.
Yeah, it's like, it's just gaslighting hockey. It's fantasy hockey on steroids is where we're just really pretending that it's going to happen. Do you ever think that we were made for this? Like, this moment?
No, I think I was made for exactly the opposite of this moment. Like, I think I was made to lie on a beach somewhere and not worry about anything. And quite frankly, it's an injustice that that's not happening.
You know what? I think we should just end this episode.
We hope you guys are doing better than us. Seems unlikely. Seems like we're all pretty much in the same spot. But if you would like to call in and commiserate or send us questions for next week, you can call us at 774-318-6952. Please remember to rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, the other ones. You can follow us on Twitter at puckbunnies_pod or on Instagram at puckbunniespod.
I'm also going to finish Avatar by the end of next week. So I'm going to probably talk about that on the next episode a little bit. So get ready for that. I'm Christina.
And I'm Audrey.
This has been Puck Bunny.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Stay safe out there. Come to think of it, she said, would you help me lace them up instead?